There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position, not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Hendrix Gin Sports Hub Golf Club, presented by Core Golf on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
Welcome into the Sports Hub Golf Club, final show of the season. Our 10th season wrapping up this weekend, Labor Day weekend, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Glad you're here. Thanks for being here all season long. If you're listening for the very first time this year, or the very first time ever, welcome in. Sorry it's the last show of the year, but, you know, with things wrapping up and gearing toward football, that's what tends to happen around here, mostly on the weekends. It has nothing to do with golf being done, because golf will continue throughout the fall. We're going to be talking a lot about that here on the show this morning with some fall golf ideas and some helpful tips from old friend of the show, Paul Gazbekian. And just let me say before we get rolling too far into the show here, Paul's been on the show from the very beginning, and a lot of guys who are on the show this year have been here from the very start. Steve Schau, who was originally with Golf Town, then Golf Smith, and now with Travis Matthew. Steve was on the show again this year, of course. Paul Gazbekian, trainer, great guy. Our friends at Core Golf, who are celebrating an anniversary. I just saw from Core Golf not long ago that I think they've got their, 5-year anniversary or something that they're celebrating now? Yeah, 5 years Core Golf has been open now. So Core Golf, a big part of the show here over the last few years. Great to have them back on this year and a part of the Sports Hub Golf Club. And then, you know, just friends that we've had on and off along the way, either officially or unofficially, all the guys at Golfers Warehouse. You know, I frequent that Braintree location. But they've always a huge help when it comes with equipment questions and just personal equipment needs. They've been great. Everybody at FootJoy this year, they've been fantastic. So it's really great to have this, like, you know, community that we're kind of growing and expanding. You know, the people at Brook Meadow were fantastic this year, once again hosting us for the Who's Your Caddy Classic. My home course, Cape Club of Sharon. They've been on board here with the Sports Hub Golf Club, and I especially want to thank them for a fall golf-related item. But I just wanted to say a quick thank you, and I'll do it again at the end of the show for everyone who's been involved with the show again this year. But, you know, without you, we couldn't do this year after year after year, our little golf show that could. On to the fall golf thing, though. Number one, when I played the other night, I was very happy to find that one hole in particular – over at the Cape Club in Sharon, they had cleaned the leaves out. The leaves are already falling. I can't believe it, that the leaves are already coming down. And they had cleaned them out on one hole in particular, which is, it's a big deal. Now, The first and most obvious thing we can all do is keep the ball in play and keep it in the fairway. Okay, that's not going to happen. So, especially on a hole like the par 5 fifth at the Cape Club, which is a dogleg right. And for me, I can absolutely hit driver as far and as hard as I possibly can and not reach the creek that runs about 150 yards in front of the green. That creek is not in play for me. I mean, it's well over 300 yards to it's 300. It's over 300 to get to that creek. Okay. So that it's not in play for me. And I can even take some yardage off that by going up and over these trees on the right. A lot of guys do it. If you get all the way over, great. You've cut off a huge chunk of the hole and you can go for the green in two. If your ball comes up short and you're still kind of in the trees, so to speak, they are spaced out evenly enough to where a lot of times you'll still have a shot at the green. It's just one of these things that you learn when you play this course, and I'm sure you're the same way at the at your home course or a course you play a lot. You find, you know, little ways of managing the golf course and getting around. Unless there are leaves on the ground, and then finding your ball becomes damn near impossible. So what a treat it was to go out there when I played on Thursday night and find that they just cleaned the leaves out from underneath. So thank you to the supers, to the grounds crew guys, to everybody, to the greenskeepers everywhere. We don't take it for granted. You know, leaves are going to fall every day. Don't expect them to be cleaned up, but man, is it nice when they are. And that's awesome. So thank you for that. In terms of actual fall golf, there's a couple of things I want to talk to you about. And I guess technically, is this the last weekend of summer? Is that how you think of Labor Day? I guess so. So we're not playing fall golf yet, although it's been a little cooler the last couple of mornings. I had a chance to play not once, but twice yesterday. And the first was over at a golf course that I've played probably four or five times now. I think it's one of the most fun and one of the better, it's not a secret, but I guess maybe underutilized places. It's on Cape Cod. I was down the Cape yesterday on Saturday and played Blue Rock Golf Course, which is a par three course in South Yarmouth. And it's a fun course to play. Super Blom Blom was with me, our friends Nicole and Jay. They've got a house nearby there, so we all get a chance to get out. And you can play quickly. I mean, you can play 18 in 3 hours because it's a par three. And if you play nine holes, you can be done in an hour and a half. The holes go from 103 yards up to, I think, 255. There's a great hole there, number nine, which is 169 yards, pretty much all carry over water. It's this kidney-shaped green. It's made some best-of lists. We've had someone on the show before from Blue Rock there in South Yarmouth. But what a fun golf course. The conditions are excellent. It's just such a good time. And if you're ever down the Cape and you really want to play, but maybe you don't have time, you've got other commitments, you know, you're supposed to be at the beach, you're supposed to be at a dinner, don't sleep on Blue Rock. A really fun, really, really well-maintained par three course. You think par three, you think like, it's kind of goofy golf, pitch and putt. No, it's a real golf course. It's just par threes. And it's really, really fun, and it doesn't take your entire day to play it. So that was how the day started. Then I managed to get out onto Ocean Edge for just a twilight nine yesterday afternoon. Now, again, I'm on a fact-finding mission for you when I go over to Ocean Edge. And we talked about it on the show last week, but I was down there, you know, technically working the last time. So I wanted to get back down there and at least get in a legit at least nine holes. And the thing at Ocean Edge, it is a stay and play. I mean, it does have a membership. But to play the course, you need to be staying on the property. I say that like it's, you know, a check in the against column. It's not. It's absolutely the way you should play this course. And they've got the stay and play package right now where if you stay on the Ocean Edge property, and it's huge, you know, they've got the, you know, the mansion, they've got the villas across the street. You know, it's a lot of different ways to stay there at different price points. But you get unlimited play on the day that you're playing for your play and stay package, or stay and play package, I should say. Oh, what a golf course. I hadn't played there in so long, and I just got a glimpse of it when I was down there doing the interview the week before here on the show. So I wanted to get back down there and get out last night. It's just a great time of year to be playing. The golf course is so good. Obviously, the facility there with the practice facility and the clubhouse and the restaurants right there. And, you know, you get, if you're staying on property, which obviously you will be if you're playing there, because it's either open to membership or for guests of Ocean Edge, so worth it. So head on over to Ocean Edge, onto their website to check into the stay and play packages. It's a great idea for fall golf. And the best part is the Cape is going to be, just a fraction of its busyness in the fall as opposed to even what it was yesterday and what it was like, you know, throughout July and August. We all know this, that, you know, if you want to get out and golf on the Cape, great time to do it is in the spring or in the fall when the crowds are down, and especially with this stay and play that they've got. There's another staycation thing I wanted to bring up from our friends at Mass Golf. And I don't know if I mentioned them at the top of the show, but Mass Golf has been a great partner of the Sports Hub Golf Club here for the last few years. And Stephen Hanjak, one of my buddies there at Mass Golf, he does great, you know, updates and stories and videos on the Mass Golf website, massgolf.org. But he did one about staycation golf. And if you go onto the website, you can read this for yourself. But he talks about Shaker Hills Country Club in Harvard, Mass. And I did not know about this, something called the Roof Shot at Shaker Hills. And Stephen writes, over the past few weeks, I probably had a half dozen people tell me about this crazy thing they called Shaker Hills. There's this new tee box they built on the roof of this building. What? Okay, so here's what he says. They make you wait five holes before you see it, but then you climb your way up the 606-yard fifth hole. You can't help but peek ahead, forgetting about the task at hand. For some reason, when you first see it, you're left speechless. It's a beautiful new building with a rustic look, seemingly built to store barrels of wine. As you make your way around the building, you see another side decorated with an old carriage, stack of firewood, bop, bop, bop. When you make your way to the roof of the building, you're greeted with a beautiful look down on two different par threes. Both the sixth hole and the 13th hole can be played by hitting the roof shot. And he's got a picture of it on the Mass Golf website. It's up on top of the roof, so it's obviously an elevated tee box down to these greens. I can't wait to go play it. I just want to see what it's like. So there's a couple of staycation golf ideas on the Mass Golf website. Again, great for the fall. You know, you find yourself with a Saturday, you don't have as much going on. Maybe it's a late game for the Pats on a Sunday and you can get out early. Great ideas there on the Mass Golf website. And I have to say again, the stay and play at Ocean Edge is a fantastic option there for you too. All right. So the opposite of a vacation would be somebody who has done something work-wise with golf that is going to take up their entire life going forward. And that's what's going on with this gentleman by the name of Tyler Ludeke. This was a story that caught my eye earlier this week. Tyler Ludeke from Plymouth, Wisconsin, is 23 years old, and he used to joke around with his friend in their hometown there of Plymouth, Wisconsin, that they were going to buy the golf course down the street. And he said, 8 months later, after he joked with his buddy in college that they were going to buy a golf course, a for sale sign went up at the golf course. And he started looking into it. The golf course was owned by a guy named Dale Lancer, who for years, I guess since 2006, gave it the unfortunate name Sir Lancerlot Golf Course. But he was done. He did a lot to the course. He worked everywhere from the pro shop to, tending bar to helping, with the outside operations. And he said, all right, I'm done. I'm going to sell the place. And he put it up for sale for $1.6 million. And, of course, he had interest from developers who wanted to do God knows what with it. But he really wanted to sell it to somebody who was going to keep it as a golf course. Enter Tyler Ludeke, who at 23 years old had worked a few jobs, had saved up enough money to buy a 53-acre farm property as an investment, and he had made enough money to where he used the equity from this first investment to, I guess, figure out a way to get the financing for the golf course. And that's what he's done. It's the one thing I talk about whenever we have like the lottery discussions about Powerball or Mega Millions or something. What would you do? Oh, I would buy a golf course. I'm sure he knows what he's in for, where it's this dream job and, I have my own golf course. This kid's going to end up working more now, I would think, than his three jobs put together that he did before and everything he's done up until this point. But number one, he's changed the name back to Crystal Lake Golf Course because it's next to Crystal Lake. And he's going to offer, he says, golf for quick casual rounds, affordable rates, and just keep it as a golf course as opposed to letting it be sold to some development company. So I thought it was a cool story. It's the one thing I kind of fantasize about from time to time. Wow, what it would be like to own your own golf course one day. Well, this 23-year-old in Wisconsin has done it. So we'll have to check back in with him maybe sometime. And next season, what we'll hopefully we will be back for in our 11th season of the Sports Hub Golf Club. Maybe we'll get Tyler on the show here and ask him how it's going. All right, I mentioned that Paul Gusbeckian was going to be with us on the show again today. He is, so we'll check in with him, and that'll be happening next. So just hold on.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
We've got the right club for your swing. This is the Hendricks Gin Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy, presented by Core Golf on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Old and, well, not old, but, like longtime friend of the program. How's that? Paul Gusbeckian. Paul, what's going on, my friend?
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, We talked last year. I think the last time we talked, we got into an interesting conversation. Paul, by the way, is he's a performance coach. He's a trainer. He's done so much in so many different places, and a lot of it, I don't even know if it's maybe the majority of what you do now, Paul, but a lot of it is golf-based. And, we've talked about strength training specifically for golfers. And last year we talked about, weight training and kind of, using the weight training for speed, because speed is what gives us the distance and the power and all that stuff. So I think we're going to kind of pick up where we left off last time when we spoke. Is that right?
It is. I mean, we spoke a lot last year just about, technology, and we have wearables. We're just getting so much feedback, right, between our Apple Watches and even when we go to the driving range. And I mean, you could pull out your app phone and get TrackMan data on your phone, and you're getting things. Not only are we getting distance, but we're also getting club head speed and ball speed. And now we're getting smash factor and club path and face angle and impact. And that's great. You know, it's great because now all of a sudden you could, you get feedback and you can make adjustments ideally in your swing and try and improve your game. And what we're seeing in the gym is, you know, similar sort of progression, right? We're seeing a lot of trackable data, right? And from simple things from our wearables to different technology we can either put on our body or put on the things we're trying to move, barbells, dumbbells, kettlebells, whatever it is, to be able to assess, are we moving faster, right? I mean, we talked a million times over the years just about assessment and our mobility and, you know, probably over the last 4, 5, 6 years about power assessments and strength, right, and where people are at. Now with this technology, we could start to create very specific profiles on the golfer, athlete, right? And determine, you know, where, not only how powerful, how strong they are, but it's called what's called their force velocity profile. And we can determine, are they force slash strength deficient, right? Or are they velocity deficient? Do they need to be training a little bit more speed?
Well, yeah, let's just like break it down in between the two, because I'm sure, you know, like the assessments that you and I have gone through before when, you know, we did some training together. And for those who don't know, Paul was the guy who helped me like get my back back into shape so that I could actually start playing and just, you know, have some quality of life again, which was awesome. I still thank you for that. But, you know, during your just normal assessments pre-technology, you could tell just from normal analog assessments, it's like, all right, you know, your right leg strength is great and your core strength is average, but, you know, your left side is weak and, you know, your shoulders are for crap. So what does technology allow you to do in terms of like strength assessments that you couldn't do before?
Well, let's say you have a bench press that's two guys that have a bench press, right? And both can move 200 pounds for 5 repetitions maximum. But one guy moves the 200 pounds faster, maybe moves it twice as fast. Well, that guy's going to be naturally more powerful, right? Because he's taking weight the same weight and moving it faster. And he should be able to be a more powerful athlete as a result, right? So we want to see a balance between, it's no good if you take a bench press and you see guys in the gym and they're maxing out their bench press and just, but they're moving it, you know, so ungodly slow, right? And so that's no good. So we have to achieve a balance between the weight and how fast we move the weight. And that's where these profiles become important and dictate the sort of training program that we program, right?
Yeah. So that is one of the examples of an exercise you might do. You might do bench press, not only weight, but number of reps and speed of those reps. What other exercises would you do in the gym when you're doing a profile on somebody to determine their force velocity profile?
Well, I mean, we've spoken about before. So the power assessment on the Titleist performance assessment is like, you know, vertical jump, medicine ball chest press and sit up to overhead throw, which is great. All right. Well, how high can you jump and how far can you throw the med ball? Awesome. Now we could say, okay, not only how far are you throwing it, but how fast is that med ball going over, you know, time over distance? Like how many meters per second is that thing going? Right. And there's going to be a difference, right? With the same thing with the vertical jump, not only how high or how far, if you do a broad jump test, how fast are you traveling over that distance? Because it's like for any sort of athlete, be it football, basketball, baseball, it's how fast you get to that ball, to that next play that determines the better athlete, right? So that's purely from an assessment standpoint, but so we could check things like certainly our jumps, right?
Yeah.
We could check our squats, our bench press, military press, very golf specific medicine ball stuff, medicine ball tosses into a wall, right? So anything like that, but not only are we, I see a million people doing medicine ball stuff in the gym and the golfers doing that stuff and they're moving slow. I mean, just slow as could be, right? And so there's no sort of thought process. They pick up anything that's heavy and just move it side to side, say, well, I'm doing something golf. Well, that's no good. I'd rather have you take something maybe lighter, crank up the neuromuscular system and have you move that thing faster. And your body and your neuromuscular system's got to have a better adaptation over time. And that's going to translate you know, ideally to a faster golf swing.
All right. So this is Paul Gizbekian, and he's a trainer, and he's very much into getting us better at golf, even with these exercises, 90% of which sound horrific. And most of the ones that I've done are just they are awful, but they help. They're good. And it makes sense, Paul, because with all this other data that we get now from our golf swings, and you're right, some of it's available on our watches and on our apps. But, you know, when you're watching golf and they're talking about the smash factor and the ball speed, in addition to the club head speed, all this stuff, I imagine that, you know, top golf coaches, swing coaches, are using the data from the gym and kind of using them in conjunction with trying to, you know, get the numbers better for the numbers that they get after, you know, when guys are hitting golf balls. You know, like one must relate to the other or somehow equate to the other. Otherwise, why would anyone be bothering to do these awful things if they didn't have some kind of translatable benefit to hitting the golf ball?
Right. I mean, and that's exactly it. I mean, we're in an environment where we could train smarter. So it's not only about how much weight you could push maximum, but again, it just goes to how fast you can move. And again, we can go in there and see based on how, what this data looks like, how we can manipulate the different variables. And for a lot of guys, they may say, well, I just need to lift more weight. And I'm like, all right, well, maybe it's necessarily not more weight, but again, we could just kind of move. A lot of people have a tough time with speed and have a tough time with velocity, and just trying to get them to move a little bit faster is going to be a lot more beneficial, right? Again, we spend a lot of time in the gym, and guys, bodybuilders or whoever it is, they don't care about that stuff. But for athletes, velocity is everything. And for golfers, I mean, you know, velocity translates to speed, club head speed, ball speed. So we have to start thinking like that, and we have the data available to do that.
Paul, are you still all hung up on pliability and flexibility? Because that was a real drag with you, man. I mean, you were just, you're always the guy like who stretched more than he actually lifted, which is just lame, dude. It's just, you know, it's so weak.
You know, I was going to avoid the whole mobility thing, and you continue to bring it up, right? You continue to bring it up. But, you know, you and I kind of touch. I took a course recently on some biomechanics, and the guy gets really into the weeds on some of the stuff. And one of the things he brings up on how to increase power, and the guys at Tice Performance talk about as well, is that look at if you could just get your spine to rotate better, you're going to be more powerful. So even if you don't pick up a weight, we don't touch on all these wearables and all these metrics and key performance indicators, whatever. Even if you can get your spine rotating better, awesome. If you can get your hips internally, externally rotating better, awesome. If you could get, you know, just get more flexibility in your ankles and you know, and in your hips, that's going to get you moving through a fuller range of motion and give you access to more power as a result.
Yeah, that's all fine and good. I'm actually trying to decrease. Go ahead and
tighten
laugh.
Up. You're tightening up?
No. Go ahead and laugh. I am actually trying to get fewer moving parts in my golf swing right now. I don't want greater flexibility in my hips. I'm trying to like stay a little more centered, man. I don't want to feel loosey-goosey. I kind of like a little tightness. But
you can't confuse the two, because you want mobility and stability go so hand in hand. Yeah, and so again, one of the things, because people think, well, mobility is purely stretching and doing all this funky stuff, but oftentimes when people come in, they need to work mobility. Oftentimes we give them a strength training exercise, because when we add strength and stability into a system, it's almost like taking the parking brake off, because if our cars and their supercomputers think that we don't have our brakes aren't working, well, it puts the emergency brake on as a result, just to keep us from crashing our cars. And our bodies work off in the same way. Our brains and our neuromuscular system works the same exact way. So if we have instability in our system, well, then our brain, our neuromuscular system clamps down on the mobility to keep us from hurting our joints. So when we increase core strength, increase, you know, strength in our glutes and our hips and these very specific areas, well, things start to open up. So it's not necessarily these boring, painful stretching this and doing that. It's like, all right, well, let's add some strength and stability in.
Okay. That actually
smart guy.
It actually makes sense.
How do you like that?
I do like it. I kind of like that. because it sounds like I can maybe do some strength training and that will automatically make me more flexible. I know that's not what you said, but that's what I heard. Paul Gizbekian, listen. Some of the data that's coming out with related to golf, I read one recently I thought was fascinating. It was about somebody had measured their calories burned throughout the course of riding 18 holes, walking and carrying 18 holes, and walking with a push cart for 18 holes. Number one, the number of steps wasn't all that different because a lot of times you're cart path only, you're walking back and forth to get clubs out of the cart. But yeah, more steps when you're walking 18. But the calories burned between carrying and a push cart, relatively the same. So we're learning things now. We've just taken it for granted for so many years. Oh, you're gonna just burn yourself out if you walk and carry. Not necessarily. Is there any other data that you're seeing either from the training side or from the golfing side that kind of is in opposition to what we've been thinking about for years and years?
I mean, I think the big one is that strength training is going to make us big and bulky and slow us down, right? And we've been hearing that for years. And I think that's one we just need to get past. We just need to get past it, right? We don't want to be like Bryson. Look at what's happened to Bryson DeChambeau, and he can't make, you know, square face contact and all that. But, you know, so I think we need to look at that from a technology standpoint and say that there's no substance to that.
There's no data to match that. And guys like,
no, not at all.
Yeah, guys like David Duval, who back in the day, you know, really bulked up and then couldn't control the driver. It wasn't because he had a lack of flexibility or mobility or pliability or anything else. He just didn't work on the technical aspects of his game to match his newfound strength. But you can't blame the strength for the fact that he couldn't keep the driver in play anymore.
No, I mean, look at guys like Rory and Bryson specifically. He's a perfect example. They're trying to max out their swing. I mean, they're trying to get their club head speed up to, you know, mid to high 140s, right? And with that, I mean, again, talking about profiling, there's a power accuracy profile, right? So you start to go up towards your max end. Well, what's going to suffer? Accuracy is going to suffer, and you're not going to be in the fairway. You're going to be in the rough. So there's a trade off there, but strength, power, and increased velocity, increased speed is a good thing. So if we can increase your top end from, you know, for some guys even just getting to 100, if we can get you from 90 to 100 top end, well, then all of a sudden your 75% effort is greater in club head speed, right?
Oh, yeah. And we've talked about that before, you know, like the number of yards you can expect on a similarly square hit per mile of club head speed. It's worth it. It's worth it to do the work to pick up that extra 3-4 miles an hour of club head speed on a consistent basis, as long as you can consistently find the center of the club face.
Right.
And even now, actually, with the drivers as forgiving as they are, maybe not. You're okay. You can get a little toey, and you're still gonna get more distance out of those shots with more club head speed. Paul, it's always good to talk to you. I want people to be able to reach out to you specifically and personally. I know you've got, you know, active social media channels and stuff, but tell everybody the different ways they can find you.
Well, I was featured in Golf Digest this past spring, so you could probably find me in Golf Digest as one of Golf Digest's top 50 fitness trainers in America, which is pretty cool. I was recently in the Mass Golfer Summer Golf Fitness segment, which is pretty cool. But my new website is Fitness Performance Systems. You can find me there, my website, and on my Instagram page.
All right, there he is, Paul Gizbekian, a longtime friend of the program. There, that's
yes,
better.
Sir.
That's better than old friend. Paul, always good, always good to talk and argue with you about the things that I don't want to know, but I know I should be doing. And let's do it again soon. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
We're on par with more of the Hendricks Gin Sports Hub Golf Club with Hart, presented by Core Golf on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. I want to share with you a story that Tim McCone turned me on to on Friday. On Friday, on Zolak and Bertrand, it was me, Paul Perillo, Tim McCone. And I wanted to save this story for the show this morning. It's absolutely nuts. And I really can't do it justice here. You have to read it for yourself. The Fire Pit Collective has the story by Ryan French about a story from the Corn Ferry Q School. Okay, so this happened over the course of the last week or so. A player by the name of Matt Moroz, I believe I'm saying his name correctly, ended up ultimately being disqualified from Q School. But what did he sign an incorrect card? Did he have an equipment issue? No. It's so much better than that. And again, I really can't do it justice, but I'm going to try. And I think you pronounce his name Moroz. That's what I'm going to go with. In the final round of the Q School, Moroz is part of a threesome. They tee off, and they're all right around the cut line. What nobody knew is that three officials, PGA officials from the Nebraska section, the tournament is being played in Nebraska, was going to keep a close eye on this group because of some allegations made against Moroz from his playing partners the previous day. They said, a couple of times he hit a ball that we didn't think was in play, but he would walk well ahead of us with his caddy, and he always ended up finding his ball in really good shape. And whatever. All right, so we're going to keep an eye on things. Well, on the fifth hole of the final round, it's a 375-yard par four. This Moroz guy hits his tee shot down the left-hand side. He's got a tricky shot up to the green. His playing partners see him hit a shot that they believe is about 60 yards short. They're playing on the other side of the fairway. Again, this Moroz guy walks up to the green much faster than the other players, and they see him standing on the green, not 60 yards short of the green, standing on the green saying, "It went in the hole. It's in the hole." Like, what? And his explanation was maybe it bounced off the turkeys because there were a flock of turkeys that were in the rough somewhere near the green. Okay. All right. And for some reason, his caddy has a video of him walking up to the hole to see the ball in it, which is a strange thing for a caddy to do, especially in a, you know, an important tournament like a Corn Ferry qualifying tournament. But okay. All right. Couple holes later, 458-yard par four, trouble down both sides. Really, really nasty hole. There are spotters assigned to help players look for drives in case they go wayward. So the spotter's about 300 yards down the fairway on the right-hand side. This Moroz guy is a lefty. He pulls his drive, so it goes into the right penalty area, about 30 yards from where the spotter is, and the spotter goes and sticks a flag in the ground where he sees the guy's ball go into the hazard. And then he goes across the fairway to look for another guy's golf ball. So everybody plays the hole out. They get up to the green. Moroz is on the fringe, about 15 feet from the hole. One of the players says, "What are you putting for?" He says, "Birdie." He said, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, my ball was in an area apparently outside of the penalty area, 30 yards ahead of where the spotter saw it go in, and not in this jungle, really an unplayable hazard, but in really good shape. Okay, so now these guys are you know, verbally voicing their opposition to what's going on here. Well, surprisingly, on the very next hole, this Moreau's guy falls to the ground. He's in back pain. He's suffering, like he's going to have to DQ. One of the guys is not having it. He says, "Get up and get out of my way." And the caddy starts arguing, "Hey, my guy is hurt. Don't tell him to get out of the way." Like, oh, please stop it. But no more incidents on the remaining holes. They get done. The other players he's playing with, they're like, this is nuts. And especially when they find out that this guy is at even par, allegedly, on the day, right on the cut line. He makes birdie on the final hole, and he knocks a couple of guys out of contention to not make the cut. So now people have just had it. Now they're saying, this is BS. This guy has been cheating all day. And they go back to the hole, the long hole that I mentioned, where the ball, you know, went into the hazard and the spotter saw it. But miraculously, what he didn't know was a couple of members of the Nebraska PGA went into the woods and found his golf ball and presented it to him. And first he said, it's not mine. Well, first of all, it's like a very specific tailor-made ball. I think he's playing a number 12 with like purple markings on it. That's your ball. He said, oh, no, that's my ball from a practice round the other day. I hit another one in there. Like, nobody's having it. Nobody's having it. They end up disqualifying him, and the guys who thought they were out of it, they ended up going back in. So you're asking yourself at this point, and in the Fire Pit Collective story, they say, so who is this guy? Well, it turns out he is a guy who in 2017, in a Golf Digest article, said Matt Moreau's had made three holes in one, two of them on par fours, bringing his career total to 17. So somebody from the Fire Pit texted him. I guess Ryan French texted me. He says, how many holes in one do you have? He said, officially 32. But I don't count four others because they were during lessons and I didn't finish all 18 holes. So he's made, Matt Moreau says he's made 36 holes in one. I mean, the guy is pathological, right? But it did remind me of another story from Golf Digest. There was a woman years ago, I went back and looked it up. Her name is Jacqueline Gagne. And she went on like a media tour because she had this crazy, crazy stretch after only playing golf for 5 years. And at the age of 46, she made seven holes in one inside of a year. ESPN, David Letterman, CBS Morning Show. And people started looking into, like, non-golfers. Like, there was a mathematician from Harvard that said the odds of somebody having seven holes in 1 year are they're like astronomical. Like a number so big, I don't even know if there's a name for it. Like beyond, you know, trillions. Like trillions of trillions. Okay, could not happen. Would not happen. But there are these people out there who just, it's not enough to like just cheat or lie or fib a little bit. They go to like lengths to where, well, nobody believes. It's not that you have doubters. Nobody believes you. Like it's a pathological thing. Like cheating or lying at all in golf, it's the one thing you can't do. There's some people who just make a career out of it, apparently. All right. So I wanted to get to that here this morning on the show. Thank you for allowing me to do that. We'll be back to wrap things up right after this.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week, I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Now, more of the Hendricks Gin Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy, presented by Core Golf on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And that'll do it for this morning's Sports Hub Golf Club. That'll do it for this season's Sports Hub Golf Club. Thanks, as always, to everybody who was a part of the show this year, all of our partners and sponsors, and everyone who came on the show and did interviews. And I mean, obviously, can't do it without you. But thanks to you for listening and for supporting, I guess, in whatever way, Sports Hub Golf Club. This was a show that I had to convince them to let me do back in 2013. And just finished the 10th year. So it's been great. It's been great. Another great year. And hopefully we'll be back to do it again next year. Generally start up Masters weekend. So that'll be the plan for next year. Want to thank Ryan, producer, who's been doing a great job here this summer as part of the Sports Hub Golf Club. And earlier on the show, Paul Gazbecki, a longtime friend and guest of the program, he was on today. So again, that'll do it. Enjoy the rest of your Labor Day Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your Labor Day weekend. Hopefully you get a chance to get out and play a little bit. And until next time, thanks for listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.